The University Tower chimes, bringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. From the Department of Communication Studies, it's Professor Joe Abbasid.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
Glad to have you back.
Pleasure.
Did you enjoy the week off in between the shows?
I did. Got a lot done.
Joe, what classes are you teaching this term?
This semester, I teach a course entitled Public Opinion.
Okay.
Another course entitled Political Communication Campaigns.
Wow.
And a PR programs course where we focus a lot on case studies.
Sure.
And analyzing different aspects of strategy and techniques that are parts of core elements of public relations.
Very cool. Very, very cool. All seems very specific kind of stuff. Are these upper level classes?
The political campaign course is a 300 level course,
okay,
and public opinion and political campaign one are 400 levels.
Oh, all right.
So,
yeah. So this is hardcore stuff. People come to you to get all their nitty gritty. That's great.
Upper division, we call it, not hardcore.
What kind of hardcore classes are you teaching?
Oh, I teach nothing hardcore.
Professor Jim
no,
Tubbs.
It's softcore.
It's PG-13.
Oh. Upper division. Upper division. I love
Jim's
it.
Teaching romper room.
What would be the difference between a hardcore and a softcore course?
I don't
Send us
know.
Some questions.
I don't want to know.
Send us some questions.
You don't want visuals either.
Last time I made that joke about, why don't you just send us some questions regarding things that happened in 1995?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then someone did, like the very next week. So I got to be careful what
gotta,
I ask for.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for.
Do not send us any questions regarding core.
Hardcore and softcore courses.
Please, please. Professor Chuck Hokett is here from
Hello.
ITS. How
yep.
you doing, Chuck?
Fine, we're in March.
It goes so fast, I just simply cannot believe it sometimes.
That's right.
This is, I'd just like to point out exactly what the Farmer's Almanac said was going to happen.
Yeah, I've been talking about, because you said that in what, December.
I know.
You said we're going to be...
It'll be rainy and warm.
Tulips are popping up somewhere.
You know, well,
over at Heather's house.
Heather, yeah, you know. She's the one planting all those little balls. So... Mr. Dave Chow is here. He's also a professor at the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent.
At times.
How are things at the College for Creative Studies now fully booted up and going, right?
For the most part, yeah.
Okay.
I'm teaching on Mondays and Wednesdays now, so
oh, wow.
It's a little different. Waking up that Monday morning 8:30 class is just a little tricky. So it's
for
like,
you and them, right?
Well, that's why I bring donuts.
I see.
Oh. I got to get them sugared up.
Of course. Hey, folks, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. Why not a question about sugar? That'd be great. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp or find us on the Facebook. When last we were together, we were tackling some questions from Julie Elder, Poughkeepsie, New York. She had sent us some classic stuff. Four actors trying to guess the movie that they all starred in and done a frankly masterful job considering about 30 individual questions here. We have a couple more to go where the actors are being repeated across multiple movies. We left off with Robert Wagner, Faye Dunaway, Paul Newman, and Steve McQueen, who all starred in The Towering Inferno. Paul Newman, Marty Feldman, Sid Caesar, Mel Brooks. I'm not the biggest Mel Brooks fan, so I've never seen this one,
actually. Not Blazing Saddles.
No, one of the lesser known ones.
Paul Newman was in it.
Paul Newman, Marty Feldman, Sid Caesar, Mel Brooks.
I'm just trying to think, how many Marty Feldman movies are there?
Well, Marty was in most of Mel Brooks' movies.
Frankenstein.
No, I was thinking...
He was in Frankenstein's Bride, wasn't he?
Or, what did we call... movies were movies because they moved, right? And so talkies would be the opposite of what this movie was.
Oh, Silent Picture.
Silent movie.
Silent
okay.
Mm-hmm, that's
okay.
What it was
and
called.
And the only person speaking was Marcel Marceau.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, correct.
Right. That's a pretty good joke, you gotta say. How about Sid Caesar, Eve Arden, Jeff Conaway, Didi Khan?
It's
is that old?
Not
Olivia
that old.
Newton-John.
Really? Yeah,
Grease.
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 Hey, Joe got it. Yep, Grease.
I can hear the chorus in my head, but I'm pulling a Chuck right about now. That's all.
I got chills. They're multiplying. crossing over with Didi Khan, Antonio Banderas, Alfred Molina, Salma Hayek. This is a relatively recent film.
It's like...
What? Ties to Detroit.
Like a Frida Kahlo...
It was Frida, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
Frida.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Alfred Molina, Willem Dafoe, J.K. Simmons, Kirsten Dunst.
Whiplash?
No.
No,
no, it's a Marvel comic book movie.
One of the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
One,
correct.
Two.
Spider-Man 2.
Green Goblin. So what's the first one?
This was number two.
Okay.
Willem Dafoe, Johnny Depp, jeez, Forrest Whitaker, Tom Berenger. Very, very well.
Oh, Platoon.
Platoon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tough movie to watch.
Yeah.
Not a tough movie to watch. Johnny Depp, Bill Murray, Sarah Jessica Parker, Martin Landau.
Ooh.
It was a very, very goofy filmmaker, and this is what the movie was about.
Oh, yeah.
Relatively recent movie. Last 10, 15 years.
Martin Landau starred as Bela Lugosi.
Yes.
But it was the director's name. Ed Wood.
Ed Wood.
You got it. Awesome job, guys.
Yeah, that was painful.
That was hardcore.
Passing a staghorn.
We have another set of questions here. Let's jump into them. Dear professors, I hope the end of the semester is doing everyone well. They're left over from last term. Then we're not too taxed. Well, both of those things aren't true anymore. I hope the holiday season will do you all well and you can come back to a new year. Tan and rested. Oh, my.
Tan?
From where?
My heart rested? My heart just skipped a beat, if only. In order to help that cause along, I've included 20 questions for your show. Enjoy. Keep up the good work. All the best from Missoula, Montana, Laura Benson. Ooh. Thanks, Laura, for sending
in
questions.
She's probably not suffering from sunburn either.
I don't think so.
Or the reflection off the snow out there, possibly.
Right, exactly. Who are the two actors that have portrayed the bumbling French inspector in Pink Panther films?
Peter Sellers, Steve Martin.
You guys got it. Steve Martin did a very poor job of it. I just like to say that was not a good movie.
Peter Sellers was classic, though.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can't duplicate that.
He and Kato, the fight scenes that last forever.
If Dan were here, he would also bring up Murder by Death and say, I am not a Frenchie, I am a Belgie. What kind of wood is generally used to encase graphite in pencils?
Cedar.
That'd be a very soft wood. Yeah, it's cedar. I'm hoping the guy who uses pencils a lot, I'm thinking, would know that.
I'm a marker man.
So you are a marker man. But you use pencils every once in a while.
Every now and then.
Okay. What is former First Lady Barbara Bush's maiden name?
Oh, I know this.
Going to the political guy here.
Oh, come on. Come on, Joe.
It's a sort of a classic, almost Kennedy-like American family, right? Isn't that Barbara Bush?
Like a Bouvier-ish kind of thing?
Sort of. It says here her last name is Pierce.
That's right. Yes. Okay. As in Franklin.
Yep.
Were they related?
I don't know.
Distantly. Who knows?
They're contemporaries.
What are the five countries that border France?
Italy, Switzerland, mm-hmm.
Germany,
Luxembourg.
Yep, and?
Belgium.
I'm not a Frenchie, I'm a Belgie. You got it. Very well done. Beautiful. I got to put it, maybe if I don't say the name, we won't get like charged any royalties or anything like that.
You're not going to start singing, are you?
No, not at all. Oh. But it's been such a long time since I've been back to Bastogne restaurant in Royal Oak. It's a Belgian restaurant. And you're like, what am I getting myself into? Everything on the menu is just awesome. I love that place so much. You can even bring kids there. It's so nice. Oh, man. Their pommes frites are to die for. What is the most populous city south of the equator? We heard about this a lot last summer.
Rio?
Not Rio.
Buenos Aires?
No, not Buenos Aires.
Someplace in Australia, maybe?
No, it's in Brazil.
Well, it's in Brazil. It's that crowded.
Is that the one that begins with a P?
It doesn't begin with a P, but there's a P in it.
Mm-hmm. São Paulo.
It's São Paulo.
Because I'm thinking like Australia.
Yeah, I've heard it takes all day to get across town. The traffic is so bad.
Exactly. They have the greatest percentage, if I remember correctly. My sister went down there for one of the Catholic youth movements a number of years ago and said that there's a very high percentage of poverty in that city. As if it's not different in Rio or other cities, but very high. In Sao Paulo. In terms of dollar value, what's the number one product purchased at duty-free shops?
Booze?
No.
Cigarettes?
Cigarettes is what we've got here.
I'm buying the wrong things.
Do you frequent the duty-free shop?
Every now and then, yes.
Okay, what do you usually pick up?
Booze. Beer. You know, if the in-laws need it, it's cheap.
Some Natty Light.
Yeah, that too. It comes in handy. No, but you know, it's always perfume, beer, and chocolate, actually.
Chocolate.
Yeah. A lot of people talk about chocolate that way. Yeah. There are two animals on the Australian coat of arms. What are they?
Kangaroo
is one of them.
Koala?
Koala.
Not a wallaby?
Nope.
What else would be on there?
It's a bird.
A loon?
No way, that's our country. Minnesota. That's my country.
A dodo.
A dodo bears.
Yeah. Emu? It's an emu. It's not known for having regular feathers.
Oh,
but
an
hairy
emu.
Feathers. Emu. I was going to make an Eastern Michigan
Another
joke.
Flightless bird.
Yep. There are two planets in the solar system that do not have a moon. What are they?
Mercury.
Yep.
And help me.
Neptune.
No, Neptune has a bunch of moons.
Saturn.
Pluto?
No. Saturn's got a
No, Pluto doesn't count as a planet.
No, well, it's been taken off the list.
Yeah, doggone, right. Poor guy.
I still call it a planet.
Think of proximity to the sun, because first comes Mercury, second comes...
Venus.
Venus is the second one, yep. They cannot support the orbit of a moon. During the Salem witch trials, 20 people were put to death. 19 were hung. How was the other person put to death?
Drowned?
Nope.
Or
pressed.
He was pressed. Oh. Giles Corey was pressed with a bunch of stones.
Ew, what a horrible way to go.
That was Daniel Day-Lewis in the most recent Crucible movie, which I love that story for some reason.
So how did they do it? What, they just like...
They put a door on top of the person and then just pile rocks on it.
Until he gets crushed.
Basically to press the truth out of the person, but usually it just pressed the breath out of the person, so...
Yikes.
Ew.
I think Jim might be able to land on this one. What city does the play Porgy and Bess take place in?
Oh, Charleston, South Carolina. Charleston's, Catfish Row.
Yep, you got it. Which actor portrayed Sherlock Holmes 14 times on film during the 1940s?
Nigel.
No.
Basil Rathbone. Yes. Basil Rathbone. Basil yes. Rathbone. Basil Rathbone.
Why are there a lot of kids being named Basil Rathbone recently? I mean, seriously.
I don't know.
Are
the kids
there?
Being named after ESPN.
Well, it's either that or Rutherford.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. Rutherford Rathbone.
Poor Perfect. Kid.
Perfect. Who was the first person who, by tradition, by his career, was an attorney who became president of the United States?
The first person who was an attorney to become Lincoln?
No. It was way before that.
Oh,
Jefferson.
You know, it was before that.
Adams?
It says John Adams here,
wow.
Yeah. Would you say that Adams was an attorney?
Was he an attorney?
I guess, yeah. Somehow that makes sense. Portrayed by, Paul Giamatti in that
HBO series.
What are America's top three newspapers by daily circulation?
Wall Street
Journal. LA Times.
Wall Street Journal's number one.
New York Times.
New York
and USA
Times
Today.
Is number two. USA Today is number three.
Oh, USA Today.
I would expect the communication studies prof to know this. And came through,
Wall Joe. Street Journal is the highest. A lot of people think New York Times is, but Wall Street Journal.
It's pretty interesting.
And the USA Hooray. So.
Well, and how long will any of these publications still be in existence? Give them another 5 years, maybe 10? Oh.
As long as there are motels, there will be USA Today.
As long as you've got a paper train your dog, there should be newspapers, doggone it. I miss newspapers.
I know. Me too. I said I didn't know what to carve my pumpkins on last year.
The lawn.
Yeah, I guess, huh? What American college was the first to grant degrees to women in 1841?
Oh, it was in Ohio.
William and Mary.
It brags about it all the time.
Yeah.
You're almost there. You're almost there. My buddy actually went there, if you can believe it. He grew up around here, and he ended up going to blank.
What city is it
in? It's in
Well,
Ohio.
I can't tell you because it's the same name as the college.
University of Toledo?
How about it starts with the letter O, Jim?
Yeah. Why can't I remember? I'm blanking.
It says here it's Oberlin College.
Oberlin College, yes.
Oberlin College.
Yes. And it was the first to be co-ed.
Yes.
Lucky devils.
Which U.S. state has the British Union Jack on its state flag?
Which U.S. state has the Union Jack on its flag?
Is it one of the original 13 colonies?
It is not.
Oh.
I'm kind of surprised that you guys didn't know this one off the top of your head.
Is it Hawaii?
It's Hawaii, yeah.
Why would they have the Union Jack?
Because they've got all... they were under British rule, they were under Hawaiian rule, and they were under American rule.
Yep. Mm-hmm. During which war were the first aerial photographs used? Now, this is a little bit tricky.
Civil War. They had the hot air balloons.
Civil War.
Yeah. Yeah, they sent them up to track troop movement.
That's right. Where's Beth when we need her? The Beatles were the first musical group to be sculpted for London's Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. Who was the second?
The Stones.
This is kind of crazy. I can give you a hint. So we're thinking musical group, not like single musical performer. Beatles were first, 1964. The second group was 1999.
Whoa. Holy mackerel. Wham?
I mean, you're in the right way. What you need is a group where every individual member was also very well known, which would sort of exclude Wham.
Uh-huh.
And was very, very, very British.
Come on, Jim.
Yeah.
The women, five women.
That's right.
Oh, Spice Girls.
Spice Girls. Yes.
It couldn't have been like Zeppelin. It couldn't have been like...
That blows my mind. I can't believe that Madame Tussauds did not pick up on any people in between. Freddie Mercury? Not Queen?
Not Queen, yeah.
No, it doesn't. No, that's not what it says. Yeah. I didn't even think that people did that sort of thing anymore. Like, do we really have the wax museums?
Oh, yes. It's a major, major tourist attraction in London.
That is wild.
And in Niagara Falls.
Yeah, Niagara Falls.
Yeah, it's true. But right about now, I mean, sculpting them is so easy. I mean, it's not even funny, so...
Why?
That's
why
true. Electronically.
Yeah, electronically. Yeah. I've already been scanned. I got a digital bust of myself.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I do.
What did you do with it?
It's on top of his refrigerator. No, my wife's actually thinking about doing like a bronze doorstop with my head.
So that you just like pull on it and then the Batcave door.
You'll make copies so I can have a bronze doorstop.
No, I'm not giving you guys bronze copies of my head and shoulders, okay?
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
I've always wanted like one of those, you know, Wayne Manor, you know.
Yeah. Well, seriously, I'm not trying to be like too morbid about this. We've had a number, I think people know, of panelists pass away X number of years. I wonder if we had like a pantheon, you know, like in this room.
Mask?
Like, not a death mask, but, you know. Okay. In what two S, in what two U.S. states start or end the Appalachian Trail?
Maine and Georgia.
Maine and Georgia is what it says here. Wow. That is exactly correct. Wow, the Appalachians go all the way to Maine?
Yep.
That is a long...
Well, it's several different ridges, but they're generally considered the Appalachians.
Right.
Several different...
Right. Wow, that's wild. Absolutely wild. Just a couple more questions to go on this really great set from Lara Benson. Really great mix of crazy stuff. In 1997, TV Guide published a list of the most memorable moments, 97, in television history. What was the top moment from TV?
End of MASH?
Nope, that's not what it says. Relatively, per capita speaking, it would have been one of the most viewed live events in the history of the world.
The history of the world?
Yes, absolutely.
Kennedy's funeral?
No, although that's got to be up there, I'm guessing.
Princess Diana's wedding?
No, remember, the list was
landing
published
on the moon.
Yes, it was landing on the moon. The list was published in 97, but it was about... Okay.
Delayed my getting my driver's license by a day because federal and state offices were closed.
Sorry, Jim. Sorry, Jim.
It's okay. It's all good.
Oh, my gosh. Of all the primary stars of the TV show MASH, who was the first one who actually went to South Korea? This is wild.
Gary Burkhoff?
Yeah, I was thinking.
Alan Alda?
No, no.
Wayne Rogers?
No.
Loretta Swit.
It was Loretta Swit for whatever reason. Mm. That's kind of interesting. Art imitates life.
Huh.
Imitates art.
I wonder if she went.
She was artistically homesick.
That's true. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I wonder what they thought of her when she got there.
Oh, my gosh.
She was tall. That's what they thought.
Tall and blonde. Hey.
Tall and blonde. That's right.
She's different.
Okay. Dear Ask the Professor Peeps.
That would be us.
The last time I wrote in with a set of questions, it was on the topic of 1995. Sadly, this time around, I don't have such a concise theme, but I did come up with great questions I believe will be a good challenge. Best wishes, Amber Hubley, your loyal fan and avid listener from San Diego, California. Awesome. Thanks for sending these in, Amber. We're actually taking questions now from 1997, so I think... or what am I saying? 2017, that's what I meant to say.
Oh, what?
It was a lot of
crossover in my brain here. Thanks for the 1995 questions and these questions. What city was Ohio's first state capital?
Toledo?
No.
Lima.
I had a friend who was from this city, and that's the only way I would have known about it. From 1803 to 1810, this was the capital of the great state of Ohio.
Cleveland.
Starts with the letter C, and it's not Cleveland.
Oh. It's not Columbus.
Mm-mm.
C?
Chillicothe?
Chillicothe is what it says here. And how do you like this? Chillicothe was the first and the third capital. 2 years in between, it was this very famous Ohio city whose name begins with the letter Z.
Z?
Z.
Oh, you guys don't know this one, huh?
Zenith, Zephyr, Zachariah.
Zebulon.
Yeah. Yeah. It says it was Zanesville, Ohio.
Zanesville.
And then it became Columbus after that. So Columbus is actually the fourth capital of Ohio.
Oh, I can only imagine the dome in Zanesville.
You know?
That was it. The dirt would not support the building, so they had to move it somewhere else.
Seriously, though, what you do Chillicothe for 7 years, Zanesville for 2 years.
Yeah, such an upgrade.
4 years of Chillicothe again, and then Columbus. What are you building?
Well, they were wandering Aramaeans.
It's Ohio.
I knew that joke was coming sooner or later.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Get those bells. Yes. The University of Detroit Mercy presents Ask the Professor. On location. It's our annual picnic show, and this year we have come to Chillicothe, Ohio, at the grand opening of the academic theme park.
Don't get cotton candy on the mic, okay?
That's right. Oh. It's the first academic theme park in North America, and I have with me today, that came all the way down from Detroit, we have George Pickering.
Sure. Pleasure to be here, giving away degrees.
That's right.
Step right up, get your degree.
George is very attracted to this thing over across from us called the Diploma Mill.
Oh, which, I love it.
Strolling along beside George is Kathy Bush.
Hello.
And this is the place, though, this Diploma Mill. You can have hot dogs with vice presidents. You can buy a degree or two. Anything your heart desires, academically.
Well, you can win it at games, too.
And you can do that. We're passing the casino. Let's take a look at the casino.
Win so many student credit hours and quality points in there. It's unbelievable.
Are these life experience
credits? Oh, absolutely. It is a life experience.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes it seems like a life sentence, you know, but it's really a life experience.
This is really fascinating.
Step right up. What spin the wheel. Come on with 32 hours in religious studies. Here you are.
And we're back with some questions from Missoula, Montana, Laura Benson. Ooh. What band made it big in 1970 with the song In the Summertime?
Sly and the Family Stone?
That's not what it says. I think you're thinking of Hot Fun.
Oh, I'm thinking of Hot Fun in the Summertime.
In the summertime, blah, 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 blah.
I can hear the KTEL commercial in my head.
You've got women on your mind.
I do?
Well, according to the song.
Okay. So I can give you guys.
Come on, Jim, think of it as a Christmas song. And then we'll pull it out of you. That's the only way we can get Christmas lyrics out of the poor man.
I can even see the video. I just cannot.
They had a video
the
back then?
Did they do anything else? Any other famous song?
No.
Oh, it's also One Hit Wonder, too. Oh, we're doomed.
They definitely have a very weird name.
Like White Chocolate or something like that?
Sometimes you guys surprise me. I just figure this is right up your alley. It was Mungo Jerry was the name of the performer.
Mungo Jerry. Mungo Jerry.
I can hear the tune.
Like I said, I can hear the KTEL commercial going in the back of my head.
You've got women on your mind. What state capital lies at the highest altitude above sea level at 7,000 feet?
Denver.
It is not Denver, which is second place at 5,300 feet. Nor is it Salt Lake City, which is at 4,200 feet.
Salt Lake. Yeah.
People forget about this.
Charleston, West Virginia.
No.
It's in the West Coast.
It's way out west.
Piers.
Sacramento?
Nope.
What Reno?
No, it's not.
Eugene?
No. Nope.
Is Phoenix the capital?
State capital.
Cheyenne?
Nope.
We're running out. I mean, there's only so many western states available.
It says here it's Santa Fe. 7,000 feet above sea level.
Really?
Santa Fe, New Mexico. Yeah.
Okay, above sea level. Okay, I think that's the that's the kicker. Okay.
Well, you know, I mean, you would think Denver off the top of your head.
Yeah, exactly.
So that means if Santa Fe ever gets an NFL franchise, then they're going to be able to hang with the Broncos. You know? What can I say? What was the last song to be played at Woodstock, and who played it?
Oh, it was Jimi Hendrix, and wasn't it the National Anthem?
Yep.
I was going to say that, or God Bless America, or something like that.
Star-Spangled Banner by Jimi Hendrix. We had a question a few years ago that was about what was the first major sporting event where the person played around with the National Anthem instead of just doing it all military. It was actually Jose Feliciano.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
Tigers hosted the All-Star game back in the 60s. This was the continuation of that. So people were like right in death threat afraid of it.
I liked what he did.
Well, no, dude, what was the last big hubbub about. Was it the Aretha Franklin that one lasted forever?
Oh, yeah. It lasted 4 minutes and 10 seconds.
Yes, she had a few missing teeth, and she was wearing real fur. And
she had longer time of possession than the Lions did in that game.
Well, you know, when you've got a war poem set to the tune of a bar song, you try to find something to do with it.
I thought that she got kind of unfairly criticized. I mean, you're Aretha Franklin. I thought it sounded great. Maybe it didn't look good.
Game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Aretha can make pronouncing her name take 4 minutes and 10 seconds. So it's not really...
One of my favorite early internet videos, even before YouTube, was there was a bit on VH1 at one point where it was she and Mariah Carey. And if you watch it and sort of deconstruct them singing the same song together... Every time Mariah Carey hits a note, Aretha goes a little higher. Every time Mariah Carey holds on for a long time, Aretha goes longer. It was actually pretty interesting to watch. Like, do you remember who's boss.
Do you remember that one where she was also a duet with George Michael?
Oh, yeah. Boy, that what was that? Oh, come on. Now someone's going to write in about that.
Was it like Last Christmas or something? Was it?
No, it wasn't Last Christmas. We're going to have to think about that for a week. At this point, it's time for us to say goodbye. Professor Abbasid.
Thank you.
Professor Tubbs.
Thank you, and I will see you later.
Professor Hokett.
Have a good day.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
And now these words.
I don't want to just read the book. I want to write the book.
I don't want to just work for the company. I want to own the company.
I don't want to just live in the building. I want to design the building.
To some, those might sound like rather lofty goals. Maybe a little out of reach.
I don't want to drive a sports car. Well, I do. I want to engineer one.
At University of Detroit Mercy, those are the people we want. The big thinkers, the dreamers. Because those are the people who make things happen. Great things for themselves and others. And if you're one of them, either just out of high school or ready to transfer, UDM will make it happen for you. Call 1-800-635-5020 today or apply online at www.udmercy.edu. It's not too late.
I don't want to just hope for the cure. I want to discover the cure.
University of Detroit Mercy. We want great things for you.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback 1995.
Who said only in a police state is the job of a policeman easy?
Gore Vidal.
No. No, it's an American actor, cop. Director, filmmaker, stage director, theater.
Orson Welles.
That's right. All right. Orson Welles. That's right. Who said moral indignation, jealousy with a halo?
Ooh, that's nice.
Oh, Sarah.
Is that E.B. White?
No. And just joining us from the Department of History, the chairman of that department, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Somebody's sitting in my chair. Ah! Out of my forage bowl.
Oh, my God. Don't relax. What about your bed?
Nobody's sleeping in my
okay.
bed. Oh, you poor love.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies and the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Javon Holland, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.